Hello and welcome to Bootstrapped, the podcast for software bootstrappers. If you are running a software company or looking to start one, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Steve McLeod. Do you send your customers a regular email newsletter? If not, you probably should. An email newsletter is a great way to stay in touch with customers, improving loyalty and decreasing churn. But which email newsletter service is best for you? When I was trying to choose which service to use for Feature Upvote's monthly newsletter, I turned to Email Tool Tester. Email Tool Tester's reviews helped me find the best option for my needs. Best of all is their deliverability study. Email Tool Tester regularly tests all the major email services to find out which ones actually get your emails into your customer's inbox. You can check it out at emailtooltester.com/deliver. That's emailtooltester.com/deliver. Joining me today is frequent co-host Ed Freifogel. Hey Ed, what's been happening?
Well, Steve, have you been living under a rock, dude? I mean, we've been quarantining. It's COVID.
Wait, what are you talking about? Is something going on I don't know about?
Yeah, I know you've been, well, I guess you'll give an update about, or you've given an update about being in Australia and not being able to get back to Spain. But I can tell you, man, you have not missed anything here in Barcelona because I have, you know, we haven't left the flat in 5 weeks. So
to fill in everyone on some detail, Ed's in Spain, which is probably the worst affected country from COVID in terms of per population. If not the worst, it must be number two or three. And I live in Spain and I couldn't get back. My flight was cancelled because of COVID and I'm stranded in Melbourne, Australia. So we're currently doing this podcast 16,834 kilometers from each other. And we'll talk about both sides of that story in this episode. So Ed, Spain, how is it in Spain?
Well, I can tell you how it is in my living room. I don't really know anything about Spain. But basically, I think outside of China, outside of Wuhan, we have the strictest quarantine. I mean, even more strict than Italy. So yeah, you're not allowed to leave your apartment except for like going grocery shopping or going to like a pharmacy or to the hospital or something. And it's been that way.
I hope you haven't had to do the third one.
No, I haven't. I mean, luckily, yes, good news for myself and my family. We're all healthy beyond our mental health as we slowly go crazy. But it's been a struggle, man, because, you know, I look with envy at all these reports of people in Northern Europe or in other places who can still go outside to exercise or go for a walk or whatever. We don't have any of that. And actually, I mean, we're quite fortunate because we have a big terrace, so at least we can be outside in that regard. But it's tough, man, because I have two kids and kids want to run around. I want to run around. It's been rough.
And you're not even from Barcelona, right? You're not even from Spain, nor is your wife. So it's kind of like you chose to go to the wrong country at the wrong time to live.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess in that regard, it wouldn't really matter because I guess wherever we would be, it's not like you're hanging out with your family or anything. But yeah, I mean, you know, my total, in the last 6 weeks, I've probably gone a maximum of a couple hundred meters to go grocery shopping every now and again.
Muscles beginning to like weaken.
Well, we try to, you know, we try to stay busy and do little YouTube exercises or whatever. But, you know, that's a motivational struggle, I have to tell you, to keep the discipline there. So, yeah.
So it's you, your wife and your two children at home and the children you're homeschooling.
Yeah, for better or for worse. So our school was caught, of course, quite off guard by this. And that has been a real struggle because they now have tried to, they send us like an avalanche of like files that we're supposed to go through with the kids and stuff, of course, in a completely unorganized way in 30 different formats. And my kids, and it's gotten a little bit better because now we had spring break the last couple weeks. So the school used that as their chance to like get a bit more organized. But some of their solutions, so for example, they set up Microsoft Teams for the whole school.
Oh my goodness.
So if you think Microsoft Teams is a struggle for a usability struggle for you as an adult, try getting your first grader to use it. My daughter logs in you know, to have her daily chat with her class, and she gets like 15 pop-ups being like, do you want to configure your calendar? You know, are you ready to download the desktop software? And, you know, and like, it's just a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. And then the school, like, you know, each child has three or four teachers for the different classes, you know, Spanish and German. And so then each teacher will bombard us with emails being like, you know, use this PDF and do this file and this Microsoft Word file and this and that. And so you end up with like literally 20 different files per kid in 20 different formats. It's just an absolute nightmare.
Well, to be fair to the schools, they had no time to prepare for this, really. I mean, there was spring break, but it just caught us all by surprise.
Yeah, I do sympathize and try to stay patient. But let me tell you, when you're like, that only goes so far, man. After like day six, you're like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. So yeah, it's been a struggle, actually. I mean, now we're trying to keep a good rhythm and good discipline and, you know, get up at a certain time every day and do some work and do some exercise. But yeah, you get, you know, every day is the same. So it's a challenge.
So are you fitting work into that daily schedule?
I am, but you know, not nearly 100%. Is I would say best case is kind of 50%. So I mean, frankly, in that regard, I'm actually quite thankful though to have my own business and at least I control my own schedule and my partner and I, we can kind of set our own pace of how we do things and what priorities we do. I mean, I think I have I see people who are kind of, if you're in a big corporation or whatever and you're just trying to work and you don't know what's the status of the business. And, you know, obviously here in Barcelona, tourism is a major industry and it's just been completely devastated. So I'm sure there'll be massive layoffs and or bankruptcies and things like this. So in that regard, I can be quite thankful. And I guess this is one of the cases where, you know, I guess my personality is I'm very thankful that I'm in control of my own destiny, for better or worse. And so that's one of the good things, I guess, about being a bootstrapper. So what about you? How has the virus affected you? How has it affected your business? What's the perspective?
So I'll start with my personal situation. Late last year, my family decided to go to New Zealand and Australia for 2.5 months. And I think back in November, we were trying to pick a date to return. And we thought mid-March, why not? That's when Barcelona starts to get a little bit warmer. And so we bought the ticket for that day, 15th of March. As it turned out, that was the very day in which the flights started getting cancelled. We were in Melbourne. We had checked in online. We were due to go to the airport. Before we left our accommodation, before we had checked out from our accommodation, we got notified by the airline that our flight was cancelled. And then in rapid succession, airports were closing, airlines were cancelling flights, borders were closing, and we found ourselves actually stuck in Melbourne, Australia. And here we still are now, 5 weeks later, without any idea when we can go home. It's not looking like it's going to be in the next weeks. So that's our personal situation. It's
so I guess you have to pay for an apartment, you know, much longer than you had planned, huh?
Oh yeah, fortunately, because nobody's using accommodation at the moment, rental accommodation or serviced apartments, we're able to get a very good deal. But it's still a lot more expensive than renting an apartment, and we're renting a perfectly good apartment back home in Barcelona. So yeah, there's a financial cost there we weren't expecting, but that's okay. You know, this is life. At least we're healthy and able to go out every day. As it turns out,
yeah, honestly, I would trade with you if I could be in Australia now or in some place where I could go for walks.
As it turns out, Australia has, either by luck or skill, managed this whole pandemic brilliantly. And, you know, there's like a handful of cases, I think about 20 deaths for the whole country over the whole period. Whereas, what is it, still like 400, 500 a day in Spain? We're able to go.
Yeah. Well, and that's only the official deaths. I just saw a thing that, you know, if you look at all the people who have died for all reasons, COVID and all other reasons, you know, the number is way higher than the average over the past couple of years. And that, so there are many deaths that they're unable to attribute specifically to COVID, but but you know, they estimate the number of deaths is like 30% higher than the official COVID
number.
Wow,
so it's even worse. Here in Australia, there's, I don't know, a handful of new cases every day, like 10, 20, something like that. And it looks like they're well on the way to eradicating it in some parts of Australia. So as it turns out, we've been very lucky to get stuck here. We keep telling ourselves that every day. When we see what would have happened in Spain, we would, like you, we would have arrived home and found ourselves shut up in our apartment, unable to go out for any reason except those three reasons you said before, going to the supermarket, the pharmacy, or to hospital. Here we can go out for a daily walk, a daily bike ride. As long as we don't gather in groups of more than two and we keep a meter and a half apart. And yeah, you see people, a lot of people out. So no complaints. We keep telling ourselves every day that we're lucky to be here.
And how's your business holding up?
Good question. It's definitely not going as well as I think it would have without COVID. We are still growing each month slightly, so the growth rate's slower. So we've avoided a drop in churn, but we are definitely having far less people sign up for paid accounts. We're in certainly no problems, and I can't complain there.
That's fantastic, man. I mean, many, many companies I know are really dying.
Yeah, yeah. It's some one person I know has a desktop software. His sales just stopped altogether, basically.
Right.
And, you know, we've had a couple of maybe three or four people ask if they could get some sort of relief because of the COVID situations affecting their business. And in each case, I've just given them 3 months free credit towards their account. So basically, the credit cards won't get charged again until, I don't know, July or August or something. And it really costs me nothing. And if it helps them stay in business a bit longer. I mean, maybe some of them will still cancel, but I thought we would have more people wanting to cancel. So, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic about how we'll weather this business-wise.
Well, I guess this is the benefit of if you make a product that people actually use and depend on, then they depend on it, right? So they can't easily turn it off. I mean, we've seen the same thing kind of with our business. We have had some customers who have canceled, mainly people from the travel industry or things like that, or people who were, we've had some customers downgrade, of course, who a lot of our customers are kind of in logistics and things like that. And so, you know, if they just have fewer vehicles out traveling around, then, you know, their usage goes down and they can move down to a lower tier. But seriously, we've also gained some customers because we're much cheaper than the market leader in our space, which is Google Maps. So I think in some ways, people who are looking for a cheaper alternative, they come to us. So let's see. Okay. Let's see how that holds up. But right now, it's we've been doing okay. It does feel very fragile. It feels like,
yeah, you know, fragile.
At any day, up. Customers could cancel or whatever, you know. So
yeah.
So definitely taking a very cautious approach towards the future. Have you reduced any of your costs or anything, or has it changed your plans in terms of marketing or anything? Or
yeah, I was ready to hire somebody, a new freelancer, to help a few hours a week with our social media stuff for both Feature Upvote and the other product I recently bought, Saber Feedback, and I just decided this was not the right time for doing that. So I put a stop to that. I think it's a good time to make sure that the business is as in good a financial situation as possible. Also, I'm finding it really hard to make progress with work. A combination of being stuck in a service department with an infant child and the stress of being stuck a long way from home. And also the whole ongoing news of all the COVID stuff means I find it very hard to get any work done. So to some degree, I'm coasting a little bit.
Yeah, sure. It's just hard to get focused. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everyone's distracted. Meanwhile, my wife and I try to juggle the homeschooling. She's also got her work to do. You know, it's funny because, like, you know, the days go past and during the day, I feel like I'm very busy. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, I didn't really do anything today. You know, you're just kind of jumping, you're reacting from thing to thing rather than able to, like, in a concentrated way, do anything. So,
yeah, and that's quite frustrating. Actually, my girlfriend's work that she does is actually much busier. It's in a business. I won't say what it is, but it's had a big growth during this whole pandemic. So she's actually working harder than ever. So that is making it harder to juggle the baby minding duties.
Sure. Yeah, it's quite funny, huh? How it's kind of feast or famine. Like some people have,
yeah,
you know, their business is dying. Other people's business is booming. Likewise, in terms of like, you know, either you're super busy or you have tons of free time that you don't know what to do with and you don't know how to entertain yourself. So either you're really busy or you're really bored. And it's these weird contrasts, I feel like.
Yeah, I think if I didn't have children or if I didn't have a child, then the hours would drag on trying to work out how to fill the day. But as it is, like, it's just a whirlwind from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, typically quite exhausted by the time it's over.
Sure.
I heard that Shopify is doing better than ever, though. So that's one of those businesses that seems to be really doing well at the moment. And, well, Zoom, of course. Zoom has become the tool of choice for people suddenly having to do remote work.
Well, you know, online in general, e-commerce seems to be growing. Everyone's trying to find a way to move their business online and things like that. But I have to tell you, I just get burned out on spending so much time online. Or like now with the homeschooling, the school, it's very well intended. And people are like, oh, here's this great app for your kids. And here's this cool learning service for your kids. And it's great. But like, you can't spend 12 hours a day just staring at the screen. I mean, you know, you got to like... I do miss going out, going to the gym, just walking around. You know, I think especially after the first couple of weeks, you know, the first couple of weeks, it was kind of obvious what to do, like in terms of like, oh, I've had this project that I've been meaning to do. Let me do that. And we've actually, in our business, we've knocked out several kind of bigger infrastructure projects that we had been putting off because now we have the time to focus on them. But now that those obvious things are cleared off the plate, it's just like, you're kind of into this malaise period of like, ah, oh, shit, what should I do today? And like, well, I could do that, but is it really important? And, you know, it's difficult to get out of it.
Dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous when the motivation starts slipping like that. I think also the whole uncertainty of it all, you don't know when you're going to be released from house arrest. I mean, it's virtually house arrest. And you don't know how the economy is going to go in 3 months. Look, you never know how the economy is going to go and be in 3 months' time, but at least we have the illusion that everything will continue humming along nicely. And now it's very, very obvious that you don't know how things will be in 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, or a year. And it's very hard to plan. When I say you, I mean I, of course.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I think previously, of course, there will be ups and downs, but it would move, let's say, within a plus or minus 10% band. Now, you know, who knows? I mean, look at the unemployment numbers that are coming out. And, you know, I really think it's here in Barcelona, it's going to be very frightful because the city lives off tourism and tourism is gone. So, you know, what are the implications of that? Who knows? How bad is it going to get?
Something like 10% of all of Barcelona's GDP or economic activity is tourism based. But then you get all those other businesses that assist to service the tourist businesses. Widespread carnage. Well, they went through a terrible crisis in 2007 to 2013, and now they've got to do it all again.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what everyone's saying, is that it's here in Spain, it's going to be another lost decade. But who knows? No one can predict the future. So
yeah.
So, I mean, I guess one other thing I've been working on here is, you know, I run an event myself, my event series, GeoMob. On a very small scale, of course. But so we've moved that online, and we had our first ever online event a couple weeks ago. That was kind of an interesting experience.
Interesting meaning good or interesting meaning bad?
Well, with both pros and cons. I mean, it was good in that it was, of course, better than doing nothing. And actually, we had some interesting talks. So the way the event works is we have a few talks, and then we all kind of network and mingle and have beers. Usually it's like, you know, 50 to 100 people, depending on the city. And we are able to do the talks. That's no problem. And of course, people can drink a beer while they're listening to the talks, but you don't obviously have the networking and the mingling, which, in my opinion, was actually the best part of the event. and the reason I do it, actually. So kind of frustrating. We're going to have another one in a couple weeks, and we learned a bit from the first one, and we're going to try to make some changes to try to encourage more networking and stuff. But you know, there's a limit to what you can do online.
It's so not the same. It's just not the same. I've tried going to a couple of events that have been changed to online versions, and I don't know, I just end up halfway through switching off, thinking I just want to get away from staring at the screen that I've been doing all day. Yeah, and when I'm drinking a beer in front of the screen, I still feel like I'm drinking alone, which is a habit I try not to do.
Well, now you have an infant. You got to, get the baby asleep and have the baby next to you.
It's never alone. So never alone. So, yeah.
But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's a struggle. It's not the same.
So the Business of Software conference was supposed to be in late March. It was in late March, and I was going to go to that in Cambridge, the UK. And of course, that couldn't happen, and they switched it to an online version. And it was remarkable how much they could do to actually make the event very interesting online. And they tried really hard at such short notice. It was fascinating to see how people were adapting. And when there's no other option, when you just can't turn up, then it's things like that. I think it's worth giving it a shot.
Which software
the problem
did they
I had
use?
Is that Zoom and Slack. Yeah, Zoom apparently has some, well, as I found out, has some special features for conferences. They could divide up into like mini groups occasionally and stuff like that. The problem I had though was the time zone. I'm here in Australia where it's GMT plus 10 hours or something. Plus 9, I don't know. Whatever it was, the conference was just starting when I was fading for the day and wanting to go to bed.
All right. Well, that's the worst. And then, or if it's the other way, if it's in the evening in Europe, then you're drinking your beer alone at 8 in the morning.
So. Yeah. Yeah. The first two is okay, but the third beer at that time in the morning, that's not good.
I was scheduled to speak at FemtoConf in early May, I guess.
The FemtoConf is...
FemtoConf is a smaller version of MicroConf, hence the name. So FemtoConf, it's organized. It's held in Germany, organized by a few guys there. It's about, I don't know, I think 25 attendees or so. And it's a weekend, and there are four or five talks. And I was going to give a talk about one of the topics that we kind of developed here on the podcast, which was good habits for running your SaaS business. And of course, that got canceled. And now I'm debating doing it on a podcast. So Benedict, one of the hosts and organizers of FemtoConf, he has a weekly podcast. And so, but it's the kind of thing when it first got canceled, I was like, oh, I'll definitely make my presentation and do it on your podcast. And you know, now the weeks have dragged on, and like, it's hard to find the motivation to like, oh, okay, now I got to make a presentation.
Well, do it. If you do it, I promise I'll listen. You have at least one person listening.
All right. Well, yeah. All right. I still need to do it, but you know, it's work to put together a good presentation and stuff.
Yeah,
so
it is.
So, but you're right. I absolutely should do it. So yeah, it's interesting to see how everyone has adapted.
Speaking of podcasts, I listened to your GeoMob podcast a few days ago when I was going for a walk through my neighborhood. Here I am bragging that I'm allowed to go out and walk. And it was really good. You were interviewing this guy, Stephen, who lives in Poland.
That was Andy Allen, who lives in Poland. Yeah. Yeah. So,
was it?
In a stroke of great, he does mapping. He has Map Tiles. So, Thunder Forest is the name of his company.
Thunder Forest. Okay, so, I'm getting the names confused.
Yeah, so really good timing. We managed to start the GeoMob podcast sort of at the end of February, and it's been going quite well, actually. So we try to take kind of the community that comes to the events and move it online and interview some of the people who speak at the events and things like that. And so far, so good. We're up to, I think now, 13 episodes. I learned a lot from doing this podcast with you, but also I should mention the Castos Audience podcast, which is a podcast about starting and running a podcast. So I kind of followed that recipe, and it's worked out really well. So anyone who's into geo stuff, please give it a listen. You can check it out over on the GeoMob website. If you're not into geo stuff, I don't know how relevant it is, because that's pretty much what we talk about. We don't go into that much detail about our businesses or things like that. So
the one I listened to was very nice. It had a very nice structure running through it, but it felt like you were just talking freely. I mean, I could sense that you had probably prepared some questions in advance, but it certainly didn't give that feel. It just came across very naturally and flowed. And I think the guy talking was very interesting too.
Yeah, he's great. Also a very interesting SaaS business. He's had that for about 10 years and they do maps. So he kind of competes with Google Maps and stuff. And he, very interesting example of a niche business. Yeah, I've known Andy for a long time. And so it's easy just to have a conversation. I guess that depends a bit on the guest. So the format is much more kind of, as I said, interviews. So we have all the people who come and speak at the events. So then we interview them occasionally. And then every now and again, Stephen Feldman, Mike, who hosts, and I will have an episode where the two of us kind of discuss some topic. But generally, it's kind of an interview show. So it's been fun.
Yeah, it was a very, very low-key advert for Open Cage right at the end of the episode.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's I do it for two reasons. One reason is I enjoy it and I learn and I get to meet interesting people. But of course, it's also an advertising channel for our business. And we try to reach kind of influencers in the geo industry. But yeah, as you say, it's a low key advertisement. And we just kind of list OpenCage as a sponsor. We don't try to, it's not that I try to work it in frequently or anything like that. So
are you doing a mailing list for that podcast?
We do have a mailing list. Well, it's mailing list more for the event than for the podcast.
Okay.
But you can, it's only one email a month. So yeah, if you're interested at all in what we're doing, get over on the site and check out the mailing list. One email a month. We talk kind of update about the different events, provide links to the podcast, provide links to the talks. And that's it. Let's see. That was one of kind of our marketing goals for this year was to build up this kind of slow, long-term channel. It's been going quite well, actually. I think also because of the virus, you know, people are stuck at home and looking for interesting content, listening to the podcast. So let's see. Oh. It's a slow growth channel.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I added a mailing list to the Bootstrapped website, or a mailing list sign up to the Bootstrapped website recently, because on the same podcast you mentioned, the Audience podcast, the podcast about podcasting, one of the guests mentioned that it was a very good thing to be doing. And so far I've got 3 people on the mailing list. If anybody's listening and you prefer to get an email sent to you to say when there's a new episode, well, just go to bootstraps.fm and then you see the bots. It's hard to get excited about a mailing list of 3 people. Oh, and one of those people was me.
And the
other,
your mother, and what is the email account you created for your child?
Oh, I didn't think of those. Oh, I can add those. That's 5. Oh, that's great. We've just grown 60% just through this conversation.
Well, but I have missed podcasting with you as well, Steve. It was fun when we did that. So I'm glad we're getting it going again. I'm glad you have a more stable setup in Australia. And I did listen to your episode where you announced your acquisition. So, and your intention to be very open about how that is going. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think that'll be very interesting for everyone to listen along and follow along.
I really hope so.
Anything you can reveal so far? When did the acquisition happen? About a month ago or so?
We signed all the paperwork in late March, and actually at the time I was thinking, why am I doing something like this when there's so much economic uncertainty? And then I thought, well, you know, you've got to take risks sometime in life, and it's not going to leave me in a terrible situation if it all goes wrong, so take the risk. And it also is something nice to work on to keep my mind off the fact that I'm stuck 16,384 kilometers from home.
Well, at the very least, you're going to get some podcast episodes out of it. Come on.
Exactly. I actually first approached Matt, who sold this to me. The product is Saber Feedback, if anyone's not aware. I approached Matt Bierman, the founder of it, in December, asking if he was curious or if he would consider selling it to me, and took 3 months to get it all together. And in December, you know, the world was good. 2020 was going to be the best year ever. Who could tell what lay ahead? And yeah, by the time we got to all the details sorted, then the world had changed. But I went ahead. I don't know what I can say more at this stage. I can say anything. I'm trying to be very open about it. So if you have a specific question.
The revenue is holding up so far? Like, people haven't quit? Either because of the virus or because of the new ownership?
We've had no cancellations. So I only took possession on the 1st of April, and I'm currently talking now on the 21st of April. We've had no cancellations and two new paying customers so far.
Well, there you go. That's fantastic. Out
of the total number of customers is around 50, 53 or something, I think, but I don't know really. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, I mean, given the macroeconomic context, that's great. That's as good as could be hoped for.
A lot of the customers are on bigger plans, and they're more corporate entities or universities. They're not the type of organization that's going to suddenly go, we need to save money, cancel Sabre Feedback now. I think a smaller company where the money of the company is pretty much the own money of the founder, the other one's more likely to cut costs quickly.
What is the average price at the feedback software?
Gee, you ask hard questions. There's three price levels. Roughly, I think it's, I'd say we get about $60 per month per customer on average.
Okay.
Now, I'm saying that off the top of my head. It may be actually quite a bit higher. The pricing points, $29, $59, and $199. So it's got three tiers. So the middle $60, you know, I think the average must be a bit more than that, because the corporate people on the top tier really tip their scales a bit. And this is something
Well, as I say, I mean, that's great. It's off to a good start. Glad it's off to a good start. And I look forward to learning more. I think it'll be very, like I said, I think it's probably a good business decision, but also it'd be very fascinating just to hear your whole decision process on why this company, how you agreed on the price, how you plan to grow it, all these kinds of things.
Ed, that sounds like a perfect topic for our next episode.
Exactly.
maybe on that point, we should call it quits for today.
It's been good catching up, man. And I'm glad you're doing well. Good, you know, to you and to all the listeners. Stay healthy, everyone.
And yep, keep the spirits up.
Keep your spirits up. And let's get back into it.
Okay, thanks. See you, Ed.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
That concludes this episode of Bootstrapped. You can discuss this episode and other bootstrapping topics on our forums at discuss.bootstrapped.fm. Until next episode, goodbye.